Good morning, Living Waters, and the six that are here, seven, in person. I want to thank you all for tuning in online, and I am excited about this message, and we're going to jump right in here in a little bit. I just want to ask you, if you're watching this morning, just pray for me throughout the message, and pray that I would communicate what God wants me to communicate this morning. And before we start, I wanted to share a fun fact with you all about farming and cow farmers. So I don't know if you've heard, but farmers have actually started talking to their cows to get them to produce more milk. And what's interesting about it is they found that when the farmer speaks to the cow, that it goes in one ear and out the other. So, yeah, I thought that was a good one when I heard it. My wife shared that one with me. I thought, I just got to share that. So, this message is going to be about the Promised Land. This is going to be about looking at what the Promised Land looks like for our personal lives, what the Promised Land looks like for Living Waters Church. And I want to encourage you, as we look at this passage of these passages of Scripture from the Exodus all the way into the Promised Land, I want to encourage you to look at this passage with an open mind, because I believe you're going to see things in these passages that are very, maybe different than the way you've seen them before. And I want to encourage you to look at these passages with an open mind, because I believe that this whole journey that the children of Israel made from Egypt into the Promised Land is a picture of the Christian life. Okay? So before we start, I want to just share a little bit about how, as we, you know, begin to talk about the Promised Land and taking territory in the spiritual realm and even in the physical realm, just a little bit about our personal journey, our personal Promised Land, and some of the ways that God has directed us. So we, our family lived in Florida for 4 years. We were in Vero Beach, Florida. My wife and I were working at Teen Challenge, Treasure Coast Boys Academy. I was the classroom administrator. My wife was a tutor. And we absolutely loved it there. We were working with troubled boys, and just it was a thriving ministry. We saw so many boys just transformed and changed, and it was an amazing ministry. Toward the end of our 4 years, it became very, very, very challenging. And there was a lot of disrespect. Our numbers went, we had up to 30 boys at one time in the program. It went down to 4. I was the only one in the classroom because, you know, with that few students, we could only afford, you know, one staff in the classroom. They became very, very disrespectful, and it was very, very difficult. It was probably one of the hardest seasons of my life. Probably 6 or 7 months before we left Florida, the Lord was showing us that we were in transition. And the way he has done that with us in the past was showing us 11s. And so we were seeing 11s everywhere. And 11 for us is a number of transition. You're at the 11th hour, a new day is dawning, and that sort of thing. So there were multiple times that I found 11 cents. I'd find a dime and a penny on the road or in the parking lot or on the counter that somebody left at Chick-fil-A one time. We saw 11:11 on the clock constantly. One time our son Jose was asking how much, you know, was left on the timer before the food was ready in the oven, and I checked and it was 11:11, 11 minutes, 11 seconds. A friend of mine sent me a devotional that really was very prophetic and significant for our family in our transition, and the scripture from that was Deuteronomy 11:11 that led that. we were watching Andy Griffith one day, and they had 11 stray dogs that came into the police station there that Opie had brought in, and you know, so we just kept seeing 11s everywhere, and we're like, Lord, you've got our attention, you know, because he's used that before with us, 11s, you know, transition. Well, then we started seeing, and we're living in Florida, Vero Beach at the time, we started seeing Kentucky everywhere. We were seeing UK stickers. We were seeing license plates for Kentucky. I saw a guy at Vero Beach Mall that had a Florence, Kentucky shirt on. I met someone at Chick-fil-A that was from Richmond, Kentucky. There were people in our church in Florida that were talking about Kentucky. One of them had a daughter that was in a cross-country meet that was going to be in Kentucky. And so the Lord kept bringing up Kentucky over and over and over. Like, okay, Lord, we're seeing 11s. We know we're in transition, and you're showing us Kentuckys everywhere. At Publix, you know, they had this Kentucky bourbon barrel cake in the Florida Publix grocery store. So we're just seeing Kentucky everywhere. Like, Lord, what are you doing? What are you up to? And then I started seeing Joshua and the Promised Land come up in Bible studies, devotionals. People would mention it. We were seeing Joshua everywhere, Promised Land, everywhere. It came up in my personal Bible studies with our youth during Donuts and Devo. Before church, we'd have Donuts and devotional, and the Quiet Time app we used had Joshua. One of my teen challenge students, I asked him how youth group went. And he said, yeah, we talked about Joshua going into the Promised Land. And the Bible study that we were a part of on Sunday mornings before church was called Rooted. Joshua in the Promised Land came up during that Bible study. We had a student in the program named Joshua. And so the Lord kept bringing up 11s and Kentucky and Joshua and the Promised Land. And we knew that something was up. And so the Lord has been forming this message in me for months and months, probably over a year. And I believe, and I wasn't sure at the time who this message was for, because we were part of a church that does not believe in the gifts of the Spirit and baptism of the Holy Spirit and that sort of thing. And so I thought, well, Lord, who is this message for? And then, long story short, here we are, Living Waters Church, and I believe that this message is for this time. So that's a little bit about our journey here. I'm very, very thankful to be part of the staff here at Living Waters. And this message is called Mission Possible. Mission Possible, Entering Our Promised Land. Again, I want to ask you to look at this passage of Scripture, all of these passages of Scripture, with an open mind, because I believe this is a picture of the Christian walk, okay? So we're going to dive right in here. Exodus chapter 12, verses 13 and 14 says, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you, to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." So when the children of Israel were in Egypt, God had put many plagues on the people of Egypt. The final plague was going to be the death angel coming out and taking out all the firstborn of Egypt. And then he told the children of Israel, if you slaughter a lamb, put the blood on the doorpost, I will pass over you. And so this is the institution of Passover, and this is a picture of Christ. This is a representation. You can go to the next slide. This is a representation of Christ. Jesus shedding his blood to rescue us from bondage, to rescue us from Egypt, so to speak. And so this is a representation of Christ. Even if you have been rescued by the blood of Jesus, and you know that you are saved by the blood of Jesus, that you are going to heaven, that you are no longer in bondage, I want to encourage you, there is still more for you. There is still more for you. John 1:29 says Jesus was referred to as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29 says, can we put that scripture up there? The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So the blood of the Lamb represents Christ. That's a picture of Christ. Exodus 14:16. So this is now the children of Israel have left Egypt and they're approaching the Red Sea. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand, the Lord said to Moses, over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea. So the children of Israel, can you advance the next slide, please? So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right hand and on the left. This is a representation or a picture of baptism, passing through the waters. So in baptism, you know, when you're baptized, you're saying, I'm no longer a part of my past. I'm leaving my past behind. I'm leaving my bondage behind. I'm leaving Egypt behind. I'm making a statement that I'm moving forward with the Lord. So this is a picture of baptism, passing through the waters, the Red Sea. And so you can see that this whole journey that we're going to look at is really a picture of the Christian life when you look at it and really break it down. So even if the blood of Christ has been applied to your life and you have been baptized and you know that you are moving forward with the Lord, there's still more for you. There is still more for you. Even if you've left your bondage and Jesus has saved you by his blood, there is still more. Exodus 15:22-25, we're going to look at this. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. They went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. So the bitterness of the waters was removed by the tree. Jesus died on a tree, and through his death on the cross, he enables us to deal with bitterness and to heal relationships, to allow him to heal relationships. He removes bitterness from our lives through the power of the cross, through the power of the tree, if you will. So this is a picture of God removing bitterness from our lives and help restoring relationships in our lives. But even if Jesus' blood has been applied to your life, you've passed through the Red Sea, through baptism, and now God is removing bitterness from your life and restoring relationships toward other people, and you're no longer bitter toward them, folks, there's still more. There is still more. This is an amazing journey that we're going to be taking this morning. Exodus 16:4. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is a picture of Jesus as our bread of life. They were hungry. They needed food. God rained down manna from heaven to feed them. And this is a picture of Jesus as our bread of life. And John 6:35 says, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. So this is a picture of Christ as our bread of life. And what's interesting about this is when the manna fell, they didn't know what it was. They said, what is it? And that's what the word manna means. What is it? When Jesus came to the earth, they didn't know who he was. They said, who is this? Who is this man? We're going to look at Mark 4:41. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? The disciples, when Jesus calmed the storm, they said, who is this man that even the wind and the seas obey him? And then in Matthew 13:55, the Pharisees and the other religious leaders at the time were very confused about Jesus, said, is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brothers James, Joses, Simon, and Judas? So they were confused. Who is this man? Just like the children of Israel said, what is this? What is this stuff falling from heaven? They didn't know that this man that came from heaven was who this was either. So this is a picture of Jesus, our bread of life. So as a believer, you could have the blood of Jesus applied to your life. You're rescued from bondage. You go through the waters of baptism. God removes bitterness from your life. He provides for you in your daily walk with him. And he is your bread of life. He's providing for you spiritually. He's providing for you materially. But there's more. There's more. Man, if he stopped there, wouldn't that be amazing? But he doesn't. There's more, folks. Let's look at Exodus 17:6. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Oreb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And this is a picture of Jesus being our rock and our living water. 1 Corinthians 10:4 says, and all drank from the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them in the wilderness, and that rock was Christ. So Christ is our rock, and he's also our living water that comes from the rock. And so this is a picture of Jesus being our living water and our rock as well. John 7:38-39 says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And of course, that's where we get the name of our church, Living Waters. So another beautiful picture of Jesus. So as you have the blood of the Lamb applied to your life, you go through the waters of baptism, God's dealing with your heart and bitterness and taking bitterness out of your life, and he's your bread of life, he's your rock, he's your water. There's still more, folks. There's still more. Exodus 18:16. This is where Moses is judging the people, and when there was family problems or disputes among the people, they would come to Moses, and it says that from sunup to sundown, he was counseling people. And eventually Jethro said, hey, his father-in-law said, hey, this is not healthy. What you're doing, you need to delegate. But Moses said, when they have difficulty, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. This is what Moses did from sunup to sundown until his father-in-law Jethro told him, you need to delegate this out. This is not good for you. So this is a picture of pastoral care. So in our Christian walk, you know, God deals with bitterness in our hearts. He provides for us as the bread of life and the living water that we need in our lives. He is our rock that we can stand on. It's never going to be moved. And he provides pastors and other leaders to speak into our lives. And when there's family problems, there's disputes, or there's things that we're just not getting along and things like that, he provides pastoral care for us. But even in all of this and everything that I've talked about already, there's still more. There's still more. We're just about to get to the climax here, folks. All right, so Mark 1:8, I want to say something about Mark 1:8 here. John the Baptist was talking about baptism, and he says in Mark 1:8, I indeed baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're going to transition here, but before we transition into our promised land, I want to say something about baptism. So if we go to the next slide here, there are two types of baptisms that John talks about. He says that there's water baptism, but Jesus was going to come and baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So there are two baptisms here, okay? You may see where I'm going with this. Joshua 3:13, we're going to read that one. Joshua 3:13 says, it shall come to pass, so this is now the children of Israel are coming out of the wilderness. Many of them have died, and now it's their children coming out of the wilderness, and they're approaching the Jordan River, okay? It shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand as a heap. So Joshua is receiving these instructions from the Lord that they are to walk to the Jordan, march to the Jordan. The waters are going to part, and they're going to walk through the waters on dry ground, just like they did coming out of Egypt through the Red Sea. And this is a picture of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some of you may think, well, that might be a little bit of a stretch, you know, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, we're looking at a second baptism here, a passing through the waters, living waters. And let's look at the definition for Jordan for just a second, okay? I want to propose to you that this represents the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of God as they walked through that Jordan on dry ground, and that's when they started seeing victories. They were taking out giants. They were claiming land. They were winning battles, and they were seeing people come into the fold, the Rahabs and, you know, her family, you know, the people who joined the people of Israel. But the Hebrew meaning for Jordan means to descend. It's the Hebrew word yarden, which means to descend or descender. What does the Holy Spirit do when he comes upon us? He descends upon us. Look at the next passage here in Luke. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus was also baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, you are my son, beloved son, and you I am well pleased. So Jesus is in the Jordan, which means descender, because it descended along the land of Israel, right? Jesus is in the Jordan, which means descender, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And so what happened after Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit? He went out into the wilderness for 40 days. And then, and it says, he went out into the wilderness in the power of the Spirit. And then after that was when he began his official ministry, and he was raising the dead, healing the sick, bringing recovery of sight to the blind, and bringing liberty to the captives. And so this is a picture of somebody walking into their promised land through the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:1-4, we're going to look at that. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is when the power started to move in the church, and they started going out and sharing the gospel with people, and it says that even in one day, 3,000 people came to the Lord because of the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's review. What does the promised land look like for the people of Israel? The children of Israel's promised land, they were no longer in survival mode in the wilderness. They were no longer in survival mode. They were winning battles. They were taking down giants. They were gaining ground and territory, right? And Rahab and her family joined the people of Israel, joined the family of Israel. What does our promised land look like individually for us? We, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can take on giants. We can gain ground in our personal lives and our families, and we can win battles that we fight in the power of the Holy Spirit. What does the promised land look like for living? Oh, and also, our individual promised land would be seeing our Rahabs, our maybe our prodigals, our children that are not serving the Lord, family members that are not serving the Lord, coming into the family of God. That is part of our promised land. What does our promised land look like as a church? Gaining ground in our community, going out and winning battles in our community, battles against drug addiction, battles against homelessness, and seeing people set free, gaining ground in our community here in Shelbyville, and winning battles and taking out giants of fear in our own lives, of that E word, evangelism, and overcoming those giants of fear, like, oh, I don't know if I can do that, and I don't know if I can reach out to people. But folks, if you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do whatever God calls you to do, and you can gain ground in your community, and you can win battles in your community and in your church, and we can see Rahabs and others come into the family of God, right? So let's look at how Living Waters has already entered her promised land. Let's look at the next slide. Cornerstone Christian Academy. Now, I want to preface all this by saying in the 80s and 90s, the charismatic movement was so thick and so strong in Shelbyville and the surrounding counties, Lawrenceburg, Frankfort, and all around. God's Spirit was moving so powerfully in the 80s and 90s. During that time, Cornerstone Christian Academy was birthed. It started as Living Waters Christian School, and that school was birthed as a move, out of a move of the Holy Spirit. Okay, next slide. Was Operation CARE, started in 1988. That was birthed in the midst of a move of the Holy Spirit and Operation CARE, and also, I don't have it up here, but Mercy Medical was birthed out of that as well, as a move of the Holy Spirit. And then also, Justin Ross and his family were members here at Living Waters Church in the 90s. His parents are still members here at Living Waters. Revival broke out among the youth at Living Waters Christian School and the youth group of the church, and it spread to the church. And that revival in the 90s resulted in Justin Ross beginning a ministry called Sparrow Missions in Honduras and in Thailand. Now they're in Thailand, and they're literally taking ground in these countries and winning battles and taking out giants in their areas. Sean Ellis and God's work in Taiwan was birthed out of that revival in the 90s. Sean and his family were also members of Living Waters Church in the 90s. When that revival among the youth broke out, it spread from the youth to the church. And what happened as a result of that move of the Holy Spirit? Sean begins a ministry in Taiwan. He's now got a thriving church of over 400 people, and they're seeing salvations, and they're defeating giants, they're taking ground, and they're winning battles, and it's amazing to see what God's doing there. Jim Erickson attended Living Waters Christian School in the 90s. He was saved in the school during that revival again, right? And as a result of that revival, he is now one of the pastors at Grace Church. He is the senior director of 0 to 18 age group and adult ministries. He was part of that Holy Spirit movement, that revival in the 90s, And what happened as a result? Another ministry birthed out of Living Waters Church. Does this make you hungry for revival? Does this make you hungry to see God move in Living Waters Church? Buddy Berry, right over here, I believe, is where Stephen pointed one Sunday. Buddy Berry gave his heart to the Lord right here at this altar back in the 90s. Again, it just this youth revival was sweeping across the community in Shelbyville and in our church. It spread to Living Waters. Buddy Berry ended up beginning Firefall Ministries, which is a powerful ministry among youth. That was all birthed in the 90s as well, this massive move of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So we have seen Living Waters enter our promised land. And as we've entered that promised land, we've been taking territory, this area and that area and that area in our promised land, like the children of Israel did. They were just taking more and more ground. Father's Love was established in 1997. Again, in the middle of that 90s revival, Living Waters birthed Father's Love through Marty Brown, and they are reaching youth in the Shelbyville area. So there are so many ministries that are all tied, every one of these, from the 80s and 90s, same time period when the Holy Spirit was moving. We had huge revival. God's Spirit was moving so powerfully, and we were taking ground and are still taking ground in our promised land. As we talk about the promised land and what God has for Living Waters, I want to talk a little bit about new wine and new wineskins and what that means for us, how that applies to us. I want to look at Romans 7:6 first. Romans 7:6 says, "But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." Newness of the Spirit, serving in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. Serving in the oldness of the letter would be like, okay, here's the commandments, here's the law, follow it, do it, don't break the law, follow these ordinances. The newness of the Spirit, following in the newness of the Spirit, is seeing God do new things and bring new wine and starting new ministries, like Momco, I'll use for an example. Reaching moms and reaching young families. We had, I think, 6 or 7 moms and about 9 or 10 kids on Friday morning. And many of the moms said, this is exactly what we've been looking for. We need community. We need togetherness. We need mommy breaks. And it was such a blast taking care of these kids. I had a little girl that was less than a year old. I think she was 10 months, sitting in my lap, and her head was on my chest, and I was just rocking her. And it took her a while to calm down. She was screaming and crying, but eventually she fell asleep in my arms, and it was awesome. And it just made me think of when my own kids were that age. And it was such a blast. It was Carol Bates was there helping, and she had little Parker on her lap, and she was singing songs to him, and he was smiling, and Fred Bates was there, and Evelyn was helping as well. And it was an absolute blast. And so this is a new wineskin. I'm sorry, this is a new wine that God is doing here at Living Waters. There's also a new ministry that's starting for inner healing. Carol Tracy is starting a new ministry for inner healing. So people that are maybe dealing with some unforgiveness, they're dealing with some maybe anxiety, some depression, they're dealing with some really powerful inner hurts that they need healing from. And this is a new ministry that's going to start for people within our church, but also people in the outside that need inner healing. They need freedom from demonic oppression and casting out spirits of anxiety, depression, suicidal thoughts, and all that junk. And we are launching a ministry for that. So we have new wine coming from the Lord. And what does new wine do? It ferments and it expands, right? So God is wanting to expand Living Waters. God is wanting to expand his kingdom here at Living Waters and in our community. But also the wineskin holding this needs to be flexible. It needs to be new, right? That wineskin represents us, folks. We have to be flexible and allow God to do what he wants to do with this new wine. So we are the wineskin. The new wine is coming, and we need to flex. We need to be flexible and say, you know what? I'm not a big fan of taking care of kids, but I'm going to commit to MomCo on Friday mornings from 9:30 to 11:30. There's 168 hours in a week. 168 hours, I can give two of them. Okay? I'm committed to this. I'm going to commit to every single Friday from 9:30 to 11:30 watching kids, if it means that we are gaining ground in our community among young moms and their families and seeing God's kingdom come in Shelbyville. I'm committed to this. So as wineskins holding this new wine that God is giving us, we need to be flexible. Okay? So I'm asking you, Living Waters family, to be flexible and to step up in areas that we may need your help. And also this inner healing ministry as well. As far as going back to the promised land, you know, there may be some that say, well, you know, I'm in my 70s, I'm in my 80s, I don't really have the energy to watch kids. Let me just share with you two things. Number one, we're going to make this as easy for you as possible. We're not asking you to pick up kids, lift them up on a changing table, or lift them up into a high chair. We're just asking for support. If you can rock a baby, if you can go and get the crayons and the paper and put them on the table, go get the snacks, put them on the table, if you can meet these moms at the door and make them feel welcome, that's what we're asking. We're asking you to be a flexible wineskin to accommodate this expanding new wine that God is pouring out into our church. And the second thing is, Joshua was approached by Caleb. I don't have the scripture up here, but Caleb came to Joshua. He said, I am 85 years old. Now, this is not when people were living 800 or 900 years, right? Where being 85 was maybe the equivalent of being 15 years old, right? He died at 110, Caleb did. He comes to Joshua at 85 years old. He said, my vitality is the same now as when we came out of the wilderness when I was 40 years old. My vitality is as good now. My strength is as strong now at 85 as when I was 40. I want to take Hebron. Will you give me Hebron? I'll take out some giants. And he led a group of men into Hebron, took out some of the giants. I believe they were the Anakim. At 85 years old, folks, I'm not asking you to wield a sword and kill giants at 85 years old. I'm just asking you to rock a baby. I'm just asking you to help be a support, okay? Maybe not just MomCo, but other things. You know, we need more help on Sunday mornings with the kids, with River Kids. The more volunteer base we have, the more families we can accommodate at church, okay? So I want to encourage you to be praying about and thinking about how you can serve and be a flexible wineskin, but that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life. If you feel like you just don't have what it takes, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, will you fill me with your Spirit? Here am I. Send me. I know that maybe I haven't had the energy that I once did, but I believe I can be like a Caleb, and you can fill me with that power. You can fill me with that energy. and I can be a vessel that's willing to step up and do whatever you ask me to do. God is pouring out new wine, and he's looking for flexible wineskins that can accommodate what he is doing. And that only comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're tuned in online or whether you're here with us, if you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, I want to encourage you to ask him to fill you with that power, to fill you with his Spirit that empowers you to do what you normally wouldn't be able to do. You can do that right there from home, and just ask him to fill you and to ask him what he wants of you. How can you partner with him to see God's kingdom come and see God's new wine expand our church? In Jesus' name. So let's finish in prayer, and we'll wrap this up. Father, thank you so very much for your word. Your word is so powerful. It is so deep. It gives us a picture, Father, of what our lives look like when we walk in the power of your Spirit, when we're no longer in survival mode, even as believers, even as ones who've had the blood of Jesus applied to our lives, and we've walked through that Red Sea, and you've removed bitterness from our hearts. We've forgiven others, and you've been our bread of life and our water from the rock. You have been there ministering to us through other people, through pastors, but Lord, there is so much more, Father. We are not those who believe that the promised land is just heaven. We believe we can walk out our inheritance. We can walk out our promised land here in this life. We can walk in victory. We can win battles. We can take out spiritual giants of fear and anxiety and things that hold us back from the fullness that you have for us. Father, thank you for what you're doing at Living Waters. Thank you for the new wine that you're pouring out. And Lord, may we be flexible. May we be flexible to accommodate what you want to do in our church and in our community. Give us creative ways, just as we've launched MomCo, just as we're launching this inner healing ministry. Give us creative ways, Father, that we can meet needs in the community. And be glorified in our church and in Shelbyville and in our personal lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you all for joining us. And if you need prayer, there is a phone number that will show up on your screen. If you need prayer, that number will be available for the next 30 minutes. So if you need prayer, you can call that number. And we look forward to seeing you all next Sunday, weather permitting. God bless you all. So